Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining me tonight on this stream. We're live on Rumble and Odyssey, also over on Entropy. Please do share the link, because I think tonight's stream is going to be a really, really interesting stream. We've got a lot to cover, and I think this case, or the case of Golders Green, highlights something very, very important. Now, I'm not the only person talking about this, which is actually quite interesting, because when I decided to make this stream, when I decided to tee this up and I thought, this is what I'm going to talk about on Friday, I thought I'd be the only person who would be bold enough to come out and make a stream like this. But I've actually seen lots of normie content creators and just people I've never heard of who just do the sort of, I'm going to talk into the camera and post 2 minutes of my thoughts discussing the very issue we're going to be discussing tonight. Now, that might annoy some people, because some people say, oh, well, Mark, doesn't that make you a bit redundant? You know, well, no, because I'm going to do this in a more in-depth way. But I'm actually very happy normal people are noticing these things. And I'm going to still talk about them, but do it in a slightly more in-depth way, break everything down and give the kind of deeper take that these normies aren't giving, which I think is important, because I hope at some point, you know, one of the lasting legacies of my work is it can be used as a reference point for people who may want to produce more digestible content, or who want to do something that's shorter, or who want to look back and look at something really in depth to see what people were saying at the time and to understand how things played out and the commentary came together immediately in the aftermath of one of these incidents. Now, I put a lot of effort into doing these particular presentations. Everything's done live. This is me on camera speaking to you. None of this is AI. None of this has been sort of fed into ChatGPT, waiting for a big screen to come out and setting it to an AI voice. This is me talking to you live on a Friday night, as I've always pledged to be. So if you do support that and you support my work, please do consider making a donation. Or if you want to ask a question, correct me, or you think I've missed something out, please do feel free to correct me. You can do that by sending a donation. You can donate directly through Rumble. You can donate via Entropy. Everything is very, very gratefully received. We're now into the start of a new month. Please do help me get through this month if you can. You can also donate if you're watching on replay. You can donate 24/7 through Entropy. Please do consider giving something. It would really help. Please don't leave it up to the same people who always do the heavy lifting. Anyway, you can also donate via crypto. All the crypto links are in the description below, and you can write to me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com. You can also now follow me and donate to me on Substack. Please check out my Substack, because I've got a big new article today, over 3,000 words, and it's on a traitorous conservative that you will all know, and hopefully after reading my article, you will all know not to like him. His name's Jacob Rees-Mogg, and my article about Jacob Rees-Mogg explains that he isn't this based Tory that some people have made him out to be. He's actually someone who at best is a race-blind integrationist. At worst, he is an anti-white who wants to replace us. Please check that out. Took a lot of time researching and putting together, but I think everyone will like it. And thank you to the people who've been so kind to share that article. It's had some great responses from people like Way of the World and Morgoth, and I can't thank them enough for taking the time to read such a lengthy article, enjoying it and sharing it. And if you guys could do the same, I would really appreciate that. Anyway, let's get into the stream. I don't want to keep you waiting any longer. Now, why am I going to talk about the Golders Green attack? Well, before we talk about it, let's just lay out what happened. This is another attack, again, involving a man with a knife. This time it was in Golders Green and two Jewish men were stabbed. Now, I know some people are going to be making videos or commentary saying, oh, well, look, you know, it was people from this particular community that were stabbed. These people were, you know, overrepresented in calling for migrants. And they're going to try and do that. Mine's going to be a bit of a different video, though. It's not going to be that. So if that's what you came here for, I apologize. But please stick around, because I think what I'm going to put together is going to be slightly more interesting than that. I think you're going to enjoy it a little bit more. I think it's going to be more in depth. And I think it's going to be something that you could share with maybe your normie friends. I think it's going to be something that will be really thought-provoking, especially for people who haven't looked at this issue in this particular way. Now, the first thing to note about this attack is it's very similar to other attacks, specifically the one that happened in Southport in 2024. Now, the Southport attack was much worse than the Golders Green attack, much worse, more horrific. The ferocity of the attack, the damage done, the fact people were killed, it was a much worse attack. But there are a number of real similarities. And there are also a number of similarities here to the Nottingham spree killing that happened a few years earlier. In that case, the guy was called Valdo Calacane. He was in Nottingham, apparently studying something like mechanical engineering, which I'm not really sure he earned his place at that university. I think he was gifted it. But there were, it's not just about Southport. There are other attacks, and we're going to look at other attacks. We're going to focus on Southport because that's the direct comparison, but I will bring up other attacks such as the Nottingham spree killing, and I'm sure we'll reference the Manchester Arena bombing as well. But before we get into looking at the responses, because that's what we're going to do tonight, we're going to look at the responses to these primarily two different incidents. We're going to look at the response to Golders Green and the response to Southport. We're going to compare them. We're going to see how the media treated both cases. We're going to see how politicians treated both cases. We're going to see how the police treated both cases. And we're also going to reference these other cases. It's going to be a little bit of referencing, as I said, of Nottingham, Manchester and other attacks. So we can see how the response to what went down in Golders Green compares to these other incidents. But before we look at the responses, I think we should look at how similar the cases of Golders Green and Southport are, as I don't think it's fair to compare the outcome of the attacks and the responses to the attacks if the cases were massively different. If these two cases were sort of so different, night and day, it wouldn't really be fair to then compare the outcome or the police or the media response. But they are remarkably similar, so similar that I think some people might actually be shocked. Now, first, let's look at the ethnicity of the attackers. Now, Axel Ruder Cabana, he was the killer who carried out the Southport massacre. Now, these are not my words. Now, I want to just quick sort of combo breaker here, quick stop, right, before we get into it. Because I'm going to use terms like British citizen, British national, and these aren't my terms. These are government terms. These are the terms that the government ascribed to these people. I'm an ethno-nationalist. I don't think these people should be living in this country. I don't think they should have any form of citizenship. However, they do. So we're talking about that. So if you're one of these people in the chat, so you go, Mark, why are you saying you're a British national? Why? He's not British. Look at him. He's not English, Scottish or Welsh. I understand that, but I'm using the official terms. Now, Axel Ruder Cabana was known as a British national of Rwandan heritage. He was actually a British citizen. He was born on British soil, born in Cardiff on August the 7th of 2006. But he was of Rwandan heritage. Both of his parents, they moved to the UK from Rwanda in 2002, and they are from the Tutsi ethnic group. He would be classed on the census as Black British, but he is clearly of African descent. His family moved here within the last quarter of a century. Although he was born on British soil, both his parents were Rwandan, so he is clearly himself Rwandan, born on British soil with British citizenship. Now, the killer, he didn't kill anyone. The man who did the stabbing at Golders Green, his name is Issa Suleiman. Now, he is also a British national, but this time of Somali heritage. So again, classes as a British national, just like Axel Ruder Cabana. But this time, rather than being Rwandan, he's Somali, but both African. Now, his nationality, he is not a British citizen. He is what it was, or he's not a British citizen by birth. He is what is known as a naturalized British citizen who migrated to the United Kingdom legally as a child in the 1990s. So slight differences here, but both of them are British nationals with African heritage. His ethnic background is he is Somalian. He was born in Somalia. Now, that would be his ethnic origin. Both of them are what would be described as African. You can see very, very similar backgrounds. So straight away, this isn't a case of comparing night and day. This is two very, very similar attackers. I was going to say killers. I keep wanting to say killers, but Issa Suleiman did not kill anybody. And that's important to remember. So the first major similarity is ethnically, their background is very similar. They were both listed as British nationals, both of African heritage. One of them was born here to two Rwandan parents. One of them is classed as a naturalized British citizen who migrated to the UK legally with his parents as a child. Now, the other thing that unites them, and this is massive, is they have a very similar criminal history. Now, you might remember I've done a couple of deep dives on Axel Ruda Cabana. I've also got a really good article, I don't mind saying so myself, up on my Substack about Axel Ruda Cabana and the Southport cover-up. And as everyone will know by now, Axel Ruda Cabana had an extensive history of violence. He had been involved in multiple incidents involving knives and attacks on other pupils at school. He had been arrested and had a criminal record for attacking people with bladed articles. And shortly before he committed the horrendous spree killing in Southport, he was actually stopped on a bus with a knife threatening people, and the police just took him home and said to his parents, look, you need to hide the knives more carefully so he can't get hold of them. And also, Axel Ruda Cabana was someone who was extensively known to the security services. He was somebody that had been referred to Prevent and numerous other agencies. So there was definitely some form of, what could we call it, counter-terror intervention with Axel Ruda Cabana. Now, remember, that's not an extensive look at him. I'm not going to sit here for 10 minutes going through his complete history because I've done this so many times and I don't want my regulars to think, gosh, Mark, you're going through the same points that you've done on numerous streams and in numerous articles, because at that point it all gets a bit boring and it all gets a little bit pointless and repetitive. So let's have a look at Issa Suleiman, because Issa Suleiman is someone that we don't know yet and I haven't spoken about yet. Now, interestingly, he has a very similar criminal history to Axel Ruda Cabana. He has previous convictions, one from 2008 for stabbing a police officer, for which he was sentenced to 9 years in prison for GBH after what the press called a frenzied attack. And this took place in Swindon. He repeatedly stabbed a police officer by the name of Neil Sampson in the head, face and leg with a bread knife, and also stabbed his police dog, Anya, in the chest. He also injured a second officer during the incident. Now, he was sentenced in 2008 to 9 years, and the court heard he actually had a string of earlier convictions for assaulting police officers and had also previously attacked somebody who is sharing a flat with. So this guy has, again, an extensive criminal history. He has used knives. He's been a violent offender. And he was also someone who was who used psycho-altering drugs. He used different mind-altering substances. And he attributed, or the court attributed, his previous violence to addiction to a variety of different drugs, which apparently triggered psychotic episodes. Now, the reason I bring this up is not because of Axel Ruda Cabana, but there's a lot of stuff on Issa Suleiman that's coming out now about mental health, about the fact that he'd had several run-ins with the hospital. He'd had several run-ins with mental health officers, people who'd assessed him and said that he had serious mental issues, which is very similar to Valdo Calloway, the Nottingham killer. Now, interestingly, and we're going to come back to this later, the most recent criminal activity that Suleiman was involved in before the Golders Green stabbing was he actually stabbed another person in another case of attempted murder before he went to Golders Green. So he actually stabbed another man, this time a Muslim, actually, on the very same day. The police were actually looking for him when he went on the rampage in Golders Green, and they were looking for him because he'd already done this elsewhere in London to another man. But the other man was Muslim, not Jewish. Remember this, because we're coming back to this. Now, interestingly, Suleiman was also referred to Prevent. He was referred to Prevent in 2020. Now, this was when he was serving his custodial sentence for stabbing the police officer, the police dog, and assaulting the other officer. But Prevent closed his case within 6 weeks of the same year, and they said he didn't meet the threshold for any continued intervention. Very similar to Axel Ruder Cabana. So here are three big things. Number one, both of them are classed as black British. They both had British citizenship, but one was Rwandan, one was Somalian. Neither of them should have been here. Number one. Number two, both of them had an extensive criminal history involving knives. Neither of them should have been out on the street. And finally, the other thing they had in common, they had both been referred to Prevent. And Prevent had turned them away, said, look, no case to answer here. Now, my argument at this point is neither of them should have been here. Neither of them should have been free to walk the streets in Britain. And the fact they were is probably a result of two things: open border policy and the fact that the police, Prevent, counter-terror, and a range of different state bodies treat these violent black offenders with kid gloves so that the crime statistics don't prove people like me right. Really, that's the crux of it, isn't it? These people are like, well, you know, we don't want to put him through the Prevent program and put a big mark by the side of his name, because if we do and we ever have to make it clear who we are carrying out interventions with, then it's going to prove people like Mark Collett right. So that's a big thing. That's a big thing. So those are the three things. Very similar ethnicity, extensive history of violence, and Prevent referrals that never went anywhere because Prevent are more bothered about arresting nationalists who have the wrong book on their bookshelf. Now let's look at the key difference in these cases. And I made a slight mistake earlier, didn't I? Because I described them both as killers. And the key difference is Southport was horrific. Three little girls died. Multiple people were hospitalised. And the severity and ferocity of the attack was almost unheard of. People stabbed dozens and dozens of times. The ferocity with which Axel Ruder Cabana carried out that attack would suggest some kind of emotional, sexual motive. He attacked in the same way that you would see sort of a frenzied serial killer or a jilted lover. It was truly, truly off the scale. And that was something that was hidden at the time. That was part of the actual Southport cover-up, that they didn't tell people how violent the attack was for fear of people being even angrier than they were. Now, the Golders Green attack, still awful. Don't want to see anyone stabbed. No one should be running around with a knife, stabbing people, just going about their business. Still terrible, but nowhere near as bad. Two men were hospitalized and that was it. It was not as serious as Southport. So we have the three similarities, but we have this one big difference. Although the two perpetrators, the two knife-wielding maniacs, were very similar in these three ways, their attacks, the attacks themselves, were different in their severity, with Golders Green being nowhere near as serious. But let's see now how the media the politicians and the establishment in general have treated this case, because this is the important thing. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the BBC website. Now, when I first saw this and decided to do this stream Wednesday, it's now Friday for those watching on replay or in the future, this page was about 3 pages long. It's now 8 pages. This is still being sort of reported on in real time. And the BBC aren't dropping this. This isn't going anywhere. Unlike Southport, this isn't going anywhere. This isn't the case where they're going to say it was a Welsh choir boy, show you a picture of a black man when he was a little boy at school by a TARDIS dressed up as Doctor Who. They are going full bore on this. So let's get into it and let's see what people think. So let's start here. And this is where the news broke. And the person breaking the news was Lucy Manning, who's listed here as a special correspondent. Now, Lucy Manning, I don't know if she's Jewish, but she does deal with issues pertaining to the Jewish community. So she could be Jewish. She might be. She might not. I don't actually know whether she's Jewish. So I'm not going to make that call and I'm not going to say anything further about her. Now, this is where the news breaks. And this is the 29th of April. This is Wednesday. Two people have been stabbed in Golders Green in North London after a man with a knife was seen running down the high street attempting to stab Jewish people in the area. Now, this is interesting because the first thing said here is not only were two people stabbed, but that he was specifically aiming to stab Jewish people in the area. Now, I don't know how that's been ascertained because, as we said earlier, he stabbed a Muslim earlier in the day. So was he actually aiming to stab Jewish people, or is this the case of a false flag? And remember, a false flag isn't something that is necessarily set up by the state. It can be an incident that does occur and then is seized upon by the state, twisted and used to bring in new laws, to pass new legislation, or potentially to give money to a particular cause or even to declare war. Anyway, she says here that then the Shomrim, the Jewish Community Security Organization, said they responded immediately and detained the suspect. The police then arrived, tasered him and arrested him. The victims are being treated by Zola, whose ambulance was set on fire across the road from today's incident last month. So Lucy Manning, being very good at what she's doing here, makes it very, very clear that firstly, Jews were specifically targeted. Secondly, that it was their vigilante task force, the Shomrim, who saved the day, and that it was the Jewish ambulances who treated them. And, you know, they were set on fire a while ago. And let's face it, if they hadn't been replaced, these innocent Jews could be dead. There's a lot packed into this. So bear in mind, there's only 8 lines of actual text relating to the story. But in those 8 lines, you can already see it is packed, and I mean packed, with propaganda. Compare that to Southport. There was nowhere near that kind of information coming out of Southport. There certainly wasn't a white vigilante force to detain Axel Ruder Cabana. There wasn't any special ambulances for the white community. And no one said that this guy was specifically looking for white people. So you can see already the tone is very politicized. It wasn't in Southport. In Southport, it was being played down. Here, 2 Jewish men suffered serious injuries. So, you know, just 13 minutes later, she confirms that it was Jewish men who were stabbed. Serious injuries, serious. So, you know, playing up the severity and again, reinforcing that there was an absolute ethnic angle to this. She goes on, one man stabbed outside shops, another outside the synagogue, says resident. And this is where they start to piece this together. This is another way to inject a little bit of ethnic bias here. You know, it was outside the synagogue. These weren't just people doing the shopping. They were outside the synagogue. And this again, paints the narrative that the knife man absolutely was looking for Jews, because not only was he in gold as green, but he did it outside the synagogue, a place where you would go to find Jews, a place where Jews need to be protected, you know. And then here's a little map. Board of Deputies says it's working with the police to ensure a forceful response. Now, this is really interesting. The Board of Deputies of British Jews has also issued a statement. We are aware of a reported stabbing incident in Golders Green with two injured. The police have apprehended the subject. We are liaising with the CST. You see, the Jews have their own little body called the Community Security Trust. Whites wouldn't be allowed such a thing. It'd be called vigilantism, but they're allowed it, you know. The government and the police to understand what has happened and ensure a forceful response. So bear that in mind, a forceful response. Now, the very opposite was said at Southport, the very opposite. There was nothing about a forceful response. There was cause for calm. Nothing about a forceful or robust response. What do they mean by a forceful or robust response? This is one guy stabbing people. I mean, when one guy stabs white girls, there's no forceful response. It's an individual. An individual did something crazy. Well, these things happen. It's awful. Move on. Who can we respond to? He's already in custody. But now, a forceful response. Golders Green stabbing, deeply concerning. This is still before 1 p.m. on the same day. Deeply disturbing, says Starmer. So, Starmer's already in Parliament, you know, minutes after this took place, minutes after. Remember, the first reporting of this was just after 12 o'clock. Minutes later, maybe about half an hour later, he's in Parliament. You know, he says an investigation is now ongoing, adding the country needs to be absolutely clear in our determination to deal with any of these offences and the likes of which we've seen too much of recently. Well, he doesn't mean knife attacks, because there's something like 53,000 knife attacks in Britain every year, and he isn't really caring or concerned about them. He's talking about the Jewish aspect of this case. Still within the same hour, Golders Green MP says she's meeting Home Secretary immediately. So immediately within the hour, the MP for Golders Green is meeting the Home Secretary. The MP for Finchley and Golders Green, Sarah Sackman, who is Jewish, says she's meeting the Home Secretary imminently to discuss the attack in her constituency. I've been aware of a serious stabbing in Golders Green. The suspect has been detained, says Sackman in a statement. She thanks the Shomrim, again reinforcing the fact that Jews have a right to a vigilante group. Vital work. The attacks on British Jews are an attack on Britain itself. It's unconscionable that Jews are being targeted this way, she says. Well, this is all within the first hour. But within the first hour, the BBC, the British Board of Deputies, the MP for the area, and seemingly Keir Starmer are all absolutely convinced that this was a targeted attack on Jews. So much so that they're putting this out on the BBC. They're making statements in Parliament. Remember Southport, completely different, almost a diametrically opposed response. Then we have the London mayor saying an arrest was made. Well, you know, there we go. He says he's going to be providing updates. And again, reinforced, two Jewish Londoners had been attacked in Golders Green. And their ethnicity really matters. It really matters that they were Jewish. I can't remember a single newspaper saying, why did Axel Ruder Cabana specifically target white girls at an implicitly white event in a white area? But no. They can't stop telling you that this was Jews who were targeted. Now, this is interesting. So here we have 13:14. So just around, I think, an hour after the news broke, we actually have the first pictures of the attack. Here are some of the first images from Golders Green taken from social media. The first shows the apparent moment a suspect was arrested, while the second shows the wider response by emergency services. You can see clips in our carousel at the top of the page. I don't think we've ever seen any footage from Southport. I don't think we've ever seen any footage of the victims. We've never seen any footage of the arrest. I've never seen any footage from inside the dance studio. That was all covered up. Here, however, it's all being painted in lurid detail. And the BBC make the note that you can check it out on the carousel at the top of the page. Look at it. Look at the horror. Well, in Southport, the shutters were pulled down. No one was allowed to see anything. People were warned, Don't speculate on social media. We, you know, Axel Ruder Cabana's social media was scrubbed long before his name came out, so no one could even get his picture. But here you have it. First pictures from the attack reposted, not hidden, not a warning, not social media has been ordered to take these down. These are being shared on the BBC website. Still less than 2 hours after the attack, Starmer, those responsible will be brought to justice. Now, I'm not really sure what to make of this, because one guy did the stabbing. He's been arrested. He wouldn't have been interviewed by then. They wouldn't have got to the bottom of it. But he's saying how utterly appalling this was. He brands the attacks anti-Semitic. Again, he thanks Shomrim and Hatzolah, because of course he does. He reiterates what they're all saying, and this is like the mantra. You know when you see these sort of films where everyone's in some kind of cult and are just repeating the statement? Well, the statement here from the cult is, attacks on our Jewish community are attacks on Britain. Attacks on Jews are an attack on everyone. This is the narrative. It's like they're all reading off a script, isn't it? But those responsible were brought to justice. Not, look, we've got somebody in custody. We need to call for calm. We need to ascertain what's happened. We are looking into it. We've got our best people on the job. But let's not go too far. That was the Southport narrative. Totally different here. Footage appears to show moment of the attack. Well, look, they're banging up the CCTV now. Now, this is interesting, really interesting, because we're talking now just over 2 hours from the breaking of the initial news. And the BBC have already got not just stills from social media, but CCTV footage from the area. It's incredible, isn't it, what they can do when they want to. And that needs to be absolutely stated. When they want to, when they want to, this is what they can do. When they want to do something like this, when they want this response, they can pull it out of the bag, but they'll never do it when whites are the victims. So here we are. Still less than 2 hours after the news broke, suspect also attempted to stab police. Victims are in a stable condition. Counter-terror police lead the investigation. So here we say he tried to stab the police. They give more details on the two who've got stab wounds. 45-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of attempted murder, taken into a custody. Specialist officers from counter-terrorism policing are leading the investigation. So already they're teeing this up in your mind. This is an act of terrorism. Pizza shop worker says he helps the elderly victim. Warning! This post contains distressing details. A pizza shop worker has spoken of the moment he helped an older man bleeding from his neck. Now, these are quite gory details. Remember, we are still less than 2 hours after the news broke. And they are looking for anything to post at this point. You know, and it says here, you know, he was bleeding from the neck. The suspect wasn't running away. The suspect was pointed out to police and he was just walking down the road with the knife. Again, this kind of detail never came out after Southport. That was just absolute silence. Now, here we go. Just under 2 hours after it was initially reported, there is an epidemic of violence against Jewish people, says Badenoch. Look at her stupid face. Some reaction now from the Conservative Party, with the leader of the opposition, Kemi Badenoch, saying Jewish people in the UK are under constant attack. What an absolute wretched scumbag that woman is. There is no longer a growing pattern. There is an epidemic of violence against Jewish people, she writes on X. Total crap. When have politicians ever spoken like this about white people being attacked? Whether it's grooming, Southport, the Nottingham attack, the Manchester Arena bombing, never. Look at her stupid face. It's enraging to see these people acting like this. She shouldn't be in the country either. I can tell you that now. She is no friend of ours, and any decent white Briton that votes for her is not a decent white Briton. She is anti-white. She says there's a national emergency which needs to be treated as such by the government and public authorities. Shadow Home Secretary Chris Philip has called today's incident an appalling anti-Semitic attack. He separately tells the BBC he has spoken to a mother in Golders Green who is too scared to send her children to school because of these attacks. Because of these attacks. Well, there's been one attack. And again, it repeats, attacks on our Jewish community are attacks on Britain. That's the mantra, guys. But here, we have politicians talking in a way about this attack that they would never, ever dare if it was about an attack on white people. And no one spoke like this after Southport. No one spoke like this after Southport. In fact, quite the opposite. It was all the calls for calm. It was all the calls for being understanding. It was the calls for making sure that people didn't start using this kind of hyperbole. And remember, this is less than 2 hours after the news broke. We're not even two pages into this yet. Again, less than 2 hours after the news broke, what we know and don't know about the attack on two Jewish men in North London. Police have arrested a 45-year-old man. The two victims, one in his 70s and 30s, are in a stable condition. According to local residents, one was stabbed outside shops. The other, again, outside the synagogue. This is just sort of a bit of a rundown. The suspect also attempted to stab the Met officers. What we don't know, the background or nationality of the subject, police say they're working to establish this. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? After Southport, there was this big thing. It was a Welsh choir boy. Anyone that said he was African, you know, was actually called out on BBC. Me and Joe Marsh was subject to a BBC programme that said we should be jailed for calling Axel Rudakabana an African. But here they're trying to establish this, probably because they were hoping he was Iranian. If police are looking for anybody else in connection with the attack, when the victims might be discharged from hospital or the extent of their injuries. Police considering all possible motives. Now, this is the first, this is 2 hours in, this is the first piece of restrained reporting we see. All possible motives. Whilst I must stress, this is the head of counter-terrorism policing, Lawrence Taylor, whilst I must stress this investigation is at an early stage, we are working quickly to understand what happened. They are grateful to officers who acted swiftly, and they are considering all possible motives, which is a bit of a pullback from what they said earlier. Golders Green attack, are you in the area? Now, this is hilarious, isn't it? The BBC are like, come forward, give us all the salacious information you can. We're looking for you. We need to fill this timeline. We need to keep this rolling. Exact opposite with things like Southport, Nottingham, etc., where they played it right down. Three were treated at scene with air ambulance deployed. Says the London Ambulance Service. So they've got the take from first responders here. No need to really read that. Loads of pictures here. Heavy police presence in Golders Green. So they're saying, look how seriously this is being treated. They have to say that. We were first on the scene. This is a bit of a puff piece about Shomrim security. And basically, this is all about reinforcing why the Jewish community have a right to their own private vigilante service. Now, just remember, white Brits don't have that right. If we were to do something like this, if we were to set up a group to protect white girls, it would be called vigilantism. Not in this case. Where did the attack happen? This is a repeated bit of news. So they keep doing this. They keep reiterating this was outside a synagogue for obvious reasons. Security on high alert in resilient Golders Green community. I mean, obviously they're using the term resilient as if this is sort of an everyday occurrence there. Now, what is an everyday occurrence is the grooming, sexual assault, abuse, rape, trafficking, murder of white girls at the hands of migrant men. I don't think Jews suffer in that way. I'm pretty confident in saying that. Then 3 hours after the initial reporting. Formally declared a terrorist incident, counter-terror assistant commissioner says. Head of counter-terrorism policing, assistant commissioner Lawrence Taylor, is now speaking. He says the attack has been formally declared a terrorist incident. Southport was never declared a terrorist incident. Now, I don't know how you can declare it a terrorist incident that quickly. If it is a terrorist incident, why was he stabbing Muslims earlier in the day? Also, what we know now is Axel Ruder Cabana had several Islamic terror documents on his computer. He had ordered all the ingredients to produce ricin. Yet, despite all of this, it was never a terrorist incident in Southport. I think we've got some double standards there, guys. Police trying to determine whether the Jewish community was deliberately targeted. So here we have something that's a little bit contradictory. But just above, we get to the real stuff here. Words of condemnation are no longer sufficient, says Chief Rabbi. Chief Rabbi Sir Ephraim Mirviz says words of condemnation are no longer sufficient following this morning's attack. This must be a moment that demands meaningful action from every institution, every community, every leader, and every decent person in our country, he writes on X. This is a hatred that we must face down together. Now look. Look, I think we need to look at this particular statement. Imagine if I'd gone to Southport the day of the Southport killing and said, words of condemnation are no longer sufficient. We must face this down. I'd have been arrested. They would have said that was a call to violence. Words of condemnation are no longer sufficient. He's angry about this, isn't he? We must face this down. Well, after Nottingham, the message was Nottingham loves. Multi-faith ceremony. After the Manchester Arena bombing, there weren't any words of condemnation. Everyone sang Don't Look Back in Anger. We weren't allowed to be angry. You can't look back in anger. There was some paid actor in the crowd there to sing Don't Look Back in Anger, because white people aren't allowed to be angry. But here you have the chief rabbi, words of condemnation are no longer sufficient. Now, I'm going to go as far as to say white people would not be allowed to behave like that or to speak like that. Met police chief speaking soon. Met police chief begins speaking. This is all, as I said, same day. They're going to bring his words to us shortly, apparently. Unarmed officers feared the man was carrying explosive device. Feared. He basically says, Rowley continues by saying his first thoughts are with the two British Jews attacked while going about their daily lives, which they should be able to do freely and safely. He also pays tribute to the police officers whose actions were undoubtedly prevented further injuries and saved lives. He goes on to say they confronted a terrorist. These were not armed officers. They feared he was carrying an explosive device, which clearly he wasn't, or it doesn't seem that he was. And he basically goes through the motions. Again, here's the mantra. An attack on one community is an attack on all of London, says the commissioner, reading from his carefully prepared little cards. You know, this is exactly what Starmer and Badenoch and the Home Secretary, everyone said. You know, they're all reading from the same thing. This was an attack on Londoners. It was an attack on British Jews. Too many Jewish people in this country feel they have to make choices that no other Briton ever has to make. Again, Mark Rowley is absolute anti-white scum. White people all over this country fear walking through multicultural areas every day. White girls are groomed, pimped, raped every day. To suggest that it's only Jews that suffer in Britain is not only manifestly incorrect, but it is insulting, anti-white, and if this sort of double standard was being used against any other community, it would be called racist. Why don't we see more condemnation of recent attacks, Rowley asks. I mean, this guy, Oh, what utter filth he is. He goes on to say that we're not seeing, you know, we're not seeing enough condemnation. Rowley goes on by saying that anti-Semitism is fueled by hateful and extremist ideologies. We can see where this is going. It comes from hostile states, the extreme right and the extreme left. These are terrorist and hateful belief systems. Terrorist belief systems, but they are all rooted in racism, he says. You can see what they want to do with this, can't you? False flag city. Bring in the new speech laws. The commissioner says it's time to ask some difficult questions. Why don't we see more condemnations of the attacks we've seen in recent weeks? Where are all the voices against hate? And where is the solidarity with fellow Londoners who are being targeted simply for who they are? He adds that debate about international affairs should never be allowed to legitimise anti-Semitism or violence against British Jews or here on the streets of London. And when that line is blurred, attacks become more likely. New laws barring you from criticising the state of Israel are clearly incoming. Commissioner heckled as he addresses the media over attack. So the Jews are actually heckling Mark Rowley. And they're chanting shame on you because we haven't done enough for Jews, apparently. Some encouraged to commit hate crimes by foreign organizations or hostile attacks. This is just a rehash of what we read earlier. Completely understandable why Jewish Londoners feel afraid. I mean, this is really interesting, isn't it? Because you'd never get a police officer saying it's completely understandable why white parents fear to let their girls out at night because they might be raped by migrant gangs or Pakistani Muslims. But you can say that Jews feel afraid. You know, you can say Jews feel afraid. Again, shame on you are the chants because we haven't done enough for them. We need to hear from moderate majority who want to root out hate, says Sarah Sackman. So it's appalling. An attack on Britain's Jews is an attack on Britain itself, she says. How many times are they going to repeat that? You know, they've all got the little cue card, haven't they? She says she's just been with the Home Secretary and the Prime Minister has called a COBRA meeting. Again, totally disproportionate response. Two Jews are stabbed, COBRA meeting called. There was no COBRA meeting. No COBRA meeting after Southport. Incredible. What we've learned from the police, well, they're just rehashing. Home Secretary says government will strain every sinew to protect the UK's Jewish community. The Home Secretary says the government will strain every sinew to keep the Jewish community safe following this morning's attack. Shabana Mahmood says she will not tolerate a situation where our Jewish citizens have to lead smaller lives to keep themselves safe. Again, another piece of absolute scum. Nobody, no Home Secretary said we're going to strain every sinew to ensure white girls can walk the streets of towns and cities without being groomed. And no one ever said that they wouldn't tolerate a situation where white girls have to lead smaller lives. No one ever said that, did they? Ministers have already been taking action on security and ensuring Jewish community sites are well protected, she said, adding that an enhanced police presence will continue. Again, there was never an enhanced police presence. The only time police turned up during the grooming scandal was to arrest dads and other angry whites who tried to intervene and stop the grooming from taking place, because you can't have that, can you? You can't have white people standing up for themselves. But we will go further, she tells reporters, including on action to tackle the root causes of anti-Semitism in society. Mark my words, new laws are incoming. On the police investigation, Mahmood says the initial circumstances of the attack suggest it is correct to designate it as a terrorist incident. What utter scum. Analysis by Dominic Cassicani. I don't know who he is. He's a legal correspondent. Police move quickly to declare a terrorism incident. And that's unusual. Yes, it is. Counter-terrorism police officers have a tried and tested system for assessing whether a violent incident counts as terrorism. Put simply, they look at the initial evidence and work out whether the act of violence was carried out in an attempt to influence the government or to intimidate the public or a section of it in order to advance a political, religious, racial or ideological cause. That is the legal definition of terrorism set out in our laws. But in recent years, the police have hesitated from making speedy calls, partly because of the outcome of the 2021 bomb blast outside the Liverpool Women's Hospital. Police call it terrorism, but ultimately there was no evidence that the man held extreme views. Absolutely. I mean, these people get real. And plenty that he had been very mentally unwell. After that, counterterrorism chiefs indicated that sometimes they will need to take longer to make the call one way or another. The fact they have called this terrorism so quickly today indicates very strongly that they believe they have evidence that points to an alleged mindset. That can often be something the suspect has said, the type of victim, or the material found on their phone or computer. It is actually wearing listening to these people, isn't it? The king is deeply concerned after the attack. The king has spoken. Buckingham Palace has just shared a statement which reads, His Majesty is being kept fully informed and is naturally deeply concerned, in particular about the impact for the Jewish community. His thoughts and prayers are with the two individuals who are injured and offers his heartfelt gratitude to those who so selflessly rushed to their aid. I don't know whether he commented after Southport. If I was a betting man, I'd say no. Again, more lurid footage, the kind of footage you couldn't have after Southport. Too early to say if the attack was linked to Iran. I mean, there were people, obviously, who were looking at this, rubbing their hands, thinking, how much can we get out of this? Can we link this to Iran? Can this be the reason for us to start bombing Iranians? You can see it, can't you? You can see the way this was responded to. In fact, it's actually quite enraging, isn't it, to see this all playing out. And there'll be people saying, oh, look at this, Doris. They reckon it might be linked to Iran. Oh, I knew we should have helped Trump. Look what's happened because we didn't bomb the Iranians. You can see what they're doing. This is propaganda of the most transparent kind. Visibly Jewish people not safe on British street, Chief Rabbi tells the BBC. What about visibly white little girls? The Chief Rabbi has told BBC News that visibly Jewish people are not safe on British streets after the attack. I'm sad to say this event proves that if you're visibly Jewish, you're not safe and far more needs. Of course, far more. We can't do enough for these people, can we? He says he wants to hear British voices across the country stand with the Jewish community and condemn these attacks. God. More needs to be done. We need to tackle not just symptoms, but causes. We need to recognise that state-sponsored terrorism on the streets of our country is simply unacceptable. New laws incoming. Gotta please that rabbi. Anti-Semitic incidents in the UK have risen in recent years. Well, thank you for sharing that. I wonder if that's because of all of the Muslims that the Jews have endorsed bringing into this country. Here we go. Khan determined to make extra policing for Jewish community permanent. Look again, his stupid face. Why do they all have such stupid faces? It's like a prerequisite, isn't it? If you're going to be in a position of power, you have to look like a complete donkey. But again, straight away, they're all falling over themselves. More money, more policing, more protection. None of this came after Southport. Badenoch calls Jewish safety a national emergency. So two Jews are stabbed. And this silly cow is saying it's a national emergency. 100,000 white girls are victims of grooming. And there was a national cover-up. That tells you everything, doesn't it? This is something which we have known has been escalating in terms of terrorist attacks and anti-Semitic incidents targeting Jews. And the community is absolutely terrified. She said there should be government funding for Shomrim. She doesn't even want Shomrim to be a vigilante group anymore. She wants it to be a state-sponsored vigilante group. The volunteer organisation who responded to the initial reports of the stabbing, which is voluntarily funded by local communities, more money for the Community Security Trust. She's bending over backwards. She wants more money. She wants to make sure that their vigilante group is well-funded. It's kind of unbelievable, but at the same time, it's obviously believable because we're reading it. And we've still got five more pages to get through. I hope, are we still on the same day? We're still on the same day. We're sort of 6 hours on now. Friend describes younger stabbing victim as a terrific guy, more emotional stuff. We started seeing people running. It was terrifying. These are all the residents. Loads of pictures here, an orgy of pictures. All the kind of stuff that we didn't get after Southport. Chief Rabbi names the stabbing victims. Group possibly linked with Iran says it was behind the attack, but caution is needed. A shadowy group, possibly associated with the Iranian regime is claiming it was behind the attack in Golders Green, although it has not provided any proof. So basically, a group that has never done anything is claiming it did this because reasons, probably clout, but this could all be part of a false flag operation. Still the same day, this is when I was broadcasting with Laura, Starmer says government will deal with the roots of anti-Semitism and extremism. Now, this is going to be an important one because this is the new laws. The Prime Minister says more funding is needed to give the level of protection that is needed for the Jewish community. Starmer made the comments following a Cobra meeting. We discussed this earlier, something that never happened after the Southport attacks. He says he has spoken with the Community Security Trust, an organization which provides security for Jewish people, adding there is enhanced funding already in place. We need to increase that to give the level of protection that's needed. So they're already giving loads of money, but they're going to be giving more money. And the big bun fight between Starmer and Badenoch is how much money will be given. Whatever Starmer says, she'll say it needs to be more. And that's how it works in politics. He says the government needs to take measures to deal with malign state actors. But we also have to be really clear that we need to get to the root cause of extremism and anti-Semitism. And so that is what we're doing. It's our job to make sure Jewish communities feel safe and secure. It's our job to make sure we absolutely deal with the root causes of anti-Semitism and extremism. Why just Jewish communities? Why not white communities? This feels relentless, Jewish leaders say after a string of attacks. You know what I'd say would be relentless? Hundreds of thousands of white girls being raped. No, that's not relentless. That's just part and parcel. And that's, imagine that as well. You know, Sadiq Khan, he never said this was part and parcel, did he? He never said this was part and parcel of living in a big multicultural city when it was white people being attacked in London via the means of terrorist attacks. Part and parcel was the term used. The Prince and Princess of Wales concerned about the attacks on the Jewish community. I wonder if they spoke out about Southport. Somebody will have to look that up. He just heard there was someone with a knife and went to help. We don't need to go over that. Police release body-worn footage of Golders Green arrest. Now, this is incredible, isn't it? So the body cam footage of the Golders Green arrest has been released already to the public. And this is the same day. Did we ever get the body cam footage from Southport? No, we didn't. Watch police yell, drop the knife. The BBC are publishing the body cam footage. Again, this is a puff piece for the officers involved. And here we start getting some facts. Same day, suspect is British national, Met Police says. A search is underway at Southeast London address. And in the first burst of information, this is incredible. So the BBC leads with British National, but the same day, the very same day, about 10 hours after the reporting started, we hear a British national who was born in Somalia. Now, how long did it take for the truth to come out about Axel Ruder Cabana? There was so much speculation. They didn't want to let us know. Now, let people be angry. Detectives investigate separate South East London incident believed to be linked to the suspect. Now, this shines a light that it wasn't a terror attack. We've discussed this earlier. Police declare terrorist incident after two Jewish men are stabbed in North London. They're just recycling stuff here now. Calls for more action on anti-Semitism. We've already covered that. Anti-Semitism is a national emergency, says terror watchdog. I mean, this is the next morning at 5:45 in the morning. There is growing pressure on the government to tackle anti-Semitism in the UK, with the Golders Green attack being the latest in a series of recent incidents targeting the Jewish community. Well, two, the ambulances in this. The government's independent reviewer of terrorism and state threats legislation, Jonathan Hall KC, told the BBC's The World Tonight that the attacks on Jewish people in the UK have now become the biggest, read this, the biggest national security emergency since 2017. Well, no, that's just complete nonsense. That's not even remotely true. This attack doesn't even come close to what happened in Southport. But this is the biggest national security emergency, apparently, since 2017. It's unbelievable that they have the gall to speak like this, isn't it? There are Brits in London, in particular Manchester, but probably all around the country. They're now thinking they cannot live a normal life. What, like the families of all the girls that were raped? IB probably doesn't care about that, does he? Chief Rabbi Sir Ephraim Mervis, the one we talked about earlier. Oh, he keeps going. That's just repeated stuff. We can't guarantee everyone is kept safe, says Justice Minister. What do you mean you can't guarantee? They've never tried to guarantee. They turned a blind eye to white girls being raped. Suspect is British national born in Somalia. So by 6:30 the next morning, they're really hammering this home. Netanyahu's office demands UK government acts to protect Jews. So here we have the Israeli prime minister stepping in. A statement references weakness in the face of one anti-Semitic attack after another. It continues, words are not enough to confront this. Words are not enough. Imagine going out to a nationalist protest and saying words are not enough to confront the scourge of grooming. You'd be arrested for incitement. Everything these people say and do, we are banned from saying and doing. Everything they get away with, we would be jailed for doing ourselves. It's enraging. Government commits an extra, by the next morning, less than 24 hours after the attack, the government commits an extra 25 million to security for Jewish communities. We knew this was coming, 25 million. And this is within 24 hours of it taking place. Here's another one with a stupid face. Home Secretary shares new information about the suspect's background. The 45-year-old suspect came to the UK lawfully as a child from Somalia. This is all very, very quick, isn't it? Very, very quick. But can't give further information. She's pressed on whether Jews are safe in the UK. Use counter-terror surveillance to stop anti-Semitic attacks, says Philip. The Shadow Home Secretary has called for increased use of counter-terrorism surveillance techniques to identify and prevent anti-Semitic crime. Shame they never did this to stop the grooming gangs, isn't it? I mean, they've got this massive network, spy network and counter-terror network. Never helps white people out, does it? But it's definitely going to help these Jews. And Mahmood pushed on groups claim it was behind the attack. I am treating this as an emergency, she says. This is obviously all from Breakfast News. There she is with a stupid face again. Attacks on minorities intending to divide our society. Says too many incidents of hate crimes at protests. Wow. So here's the Home Secretary. Mahmood is asked if protests in favour of Palestinian rights could be seen as incubating hostile views. Home Secretary says she recognises the freedom of people to protest, but says there are far too many incidents of hate crimes being committed during demonstrations. She adds that the Crime and Policing Bill, which became law on Wednesday, gives additional powers to deal with repeat protests. When asked if far-right activist Tommy Robinson's protest set to take place on the 16th of May should go ahead, she says she'll be having conversations with the police. I mean, sort of, as an amusing aside, it would be funny if an Israeli agent like Tommy Robinson had his demo cancelled because of this. She adds that she feels broader public order legislation is no longer fit for purpose following the Heaton Park synagogue attack last year. Mahmood says she will not hesitate to make further changes. So there you have it. They are going to bring in new laws. She says the current laws aren't fit for purpose and she will not hesitate to make new changes to clamp down on protests. We must all work together to keep each other safe. She's doing the rounds now, shilling for these new laws. 34-year-old victim hopes to be home by Friday. Shame about the three girls in Southport. None of them went home, did they? I'm horrified this could happen on the streets of London, victim's mother says. And here, less than 24 hours after the attack took place, we have a full picture of the suspect brandishing a knife. So you can see what he looks like, his age. You can see him actually going to commit the crime. 24 hours, less than 24 hours, we see this. We didn't get a proper picture of Axel Ruder Cabana until 6 months after the Southport attacks. We were instead shown pictures of him as a schoolboy, pictures of him dressed up as Doctor Who. He was described as a Welsh choir boy. Yet here, full picture of him 24 hours. Just 24, not even 24 hours, not even 24 hours. And there's a full picture. Two-tier justice? You're damn right. When it's Jews being stabbed, the BBC goes all out. When it's white girls being butchered, it's a cover-up. I've said it. They can take me to jail for it if they want. This is the truth. I mean, I am sickened. Jewish man says community left asking difficult questions after the attack. Suspect was 10 foot away from me when he was arrested, says witness. And here we have, again, they love this, don't they? This is the attack. This is the tasering. This is the man. They couldn't give you more information. Less than 24 hours out from this, there is an orgy of information. It's almost like in this short period of time, they gathered enough stuff to produce sort of an hour-long in-depth criminal documentary. What happened in Golders Green? The Golders Green terror. Every part of the horrific attack broken down frame by frame. Watch the CCTV footage. Watch the witness footage on mobile phones. Watch the officer body cam footage. Watch the random passers-by on the bus who also filmed it on their phone and gave it to us. We appealed for more witnesses and we'll be giving them the chance to tell you just how bad it was. None of this happened in Southport. There was no witness reports, no footage, no pictures. We got the Doctor Who picture. Don't pay your TV license, guys. These people have total contempt for you, have the same degree of contempt for them. This country is finished for Jews. This country is run by Jews. For them, it's not finished for them. I can tell you that now. Oh, my God. And as we're scrolling up, an attack on our Jewish community is an attack on all of us. He's reading from the cue card, isn't he? I mean, they are just going to keep reading from that cue card. Justice system response must be swift, agile and visible, Starmer says. The Prime Minister says the criminal justice system must respond in a swift, agile and visible way to yesterday's attack in Golders Green. In a meeting with criminal justice agencies in Downing Street, he says there is a duty to quickly respond to appalling attacks. A number of people have been arrested. A number are going through the criminal justice system. And it's really important we are able to collectively demonstrate that the response will be swift and visible, he says. I think the only swifter response would have been the jailing of white people for shouting at police officers when white girls are killed. I mean, I'm sure he's going to be quick on this, but I bet he's quicker on that one thing. This will be the second swiftest justice, won't it? Badenoch again. Look at that stupid face. Badenoch, I was there yesterday and you could feel the fear on the streets. Now I'm going to point this out. So listen to this. This is important. Conservative leader Kemi Badenoch tells BBC Radio London's Eddie Nestor, the community didn't think that they, the government, are doing enough. I was there yesterday and you could feel the fear on the streets. It goes on that they're giving 25 million, but why do I think this is so important? Well, this is the day after. We're almost 24 hours on now, exactly, from the immediate reporting, when the reporting on the BBC began. Badenoch was on the streets of Golders Green within hours of that attack taking place. Now, she's the leader of the Conservative Party. Did she go to Southport? No. And you might say, well, why would she? She wasn't leader of the party then. Did Sunak go to Southport? No. Did Sunak go on any radio shows? Was he on BBC News? No. Sunak released a statement through official channels and that was it. Why does the Conservative Party leader go to Golders Green to weep tears, say not enough is being done, and to essentially kiss the bottoms of Jewish community leaders and rabbis? But why don't they go to Southport? Why don't they go to Southport? Did they go to Nottingham? Did they go to Manchester after the arena bombing? Again, the responses here are so night and day different. It's unbelievable. Suspect had previously been referred to counter-terrorism programme, the BBC understands. We went through this earlier. So they started giving this news. Now, just as an aside, though, we didn't get the news about Axel Ruder Cabana until much later. Most of that came out through actual inquiries. We're now in phase two of the public inquiry as to what really happened with the Axel Ruder Cabana case. We don't need a public inquiry here to let the truth come out. You know, that's just not what we need here. It's completely different. This is all coming out within, let me just check. I just want to make sure I've got the right bit. Yeah, within 24 hours of this happening, we actually see the truth coming out. It took months and an official inquiry for the truth to come out about Ruda Cabana. What is Prevent? Well, we don't need to go through that. We're now flying through this. We've only got two more pages after this. I don't know how it's got to such a state, says old Jewish woman. Did we have white people on the BBC going, I don't know how it got to such a state that, you know, Rwandans are running around with knives stabbing white girls? Don't think we did we? Oh, government needs to send strong, firm signals, says Farage. I don't know what Farage said after Southport, but he actually went to Golders Green. Now, I'm pretty confident in saying he didn't go to Southport, but he says this is going to be a long battle. The government needs to send some very strong, firm signals, he says. I'm very, very clear there is a differentiation between what is right and what is wrong. We currently allow terrorist organisations with hateful motives to exist as legal organisations to raise funds, spread their message, and the first thing the government ought to do is proscribe those organisations, as indeed do Muslim countries in the Middle East. So again, he wants to expand counter-terror legislation and ban more groups. Pretty shameful. I'm pretty sure he wasn't in Southport. Again, BBC quick to shame the police for a lack of response, something they didn't do over Southport. Ed Davey, leader of the Lib Dems, again, government should take immediate and visible action. Now here we have a list of attacks on the Jewish community from the end of 2005. How many have we got? We've got two Jewish people were killed and three left in serious condition outside a synagogue in Manchester. Ambulances set on fire, a brick and two bottles thrown at a Reform synagogue, suspicious items. So they're really scraping the barrel with this. So that is a serious attack, 2nd of October. The ambulances, these are like minor things that white people have to put up with all the time. A bag containing of bottles of fluid, another bag of something, a suspected arson attack. So really, we've got three serious incidents that actually genuinely took place since the end of October last year. Now, compare that to the number of white girls we see raped by migrants. Well, that's happening on almost, you know, almost every other day, it seems. And they're confined to the local papers and no one's calling for legislation, are they? You know, protesters jeer and shout traitor at Starmer. Well, Starmer's absolutely philo-Semitic, so that's absolutely performative. I don't feel safe as a British Jew. Absolute hyperbole here and plenty of emotional propaganda, the kind of stuff that we wouldn't have seen in Southport. No one. You see, remember, whenever something like Southport or Nottingham or Manchester, as in the Manchester Arena bombing, happens, the response is so different, isn't it? You don't get these things where people are saying, I don't feel safe to walk the street. You don't get white people interviewed saying, I'm not comfortable letting my daughter out anymore. I don't want to let my daughter go to a dance class. I don't want to let my daughter or my son go to a concert. You know, I'm scared when they go to big public events because these bombings take place. What if there's another mad black man who grabs a car and drives through people? What if another mad black man picks up a knife and starts stabbing people? You don't have that. They would never report like that because you're not allowed to feel that way. The response is totally different. The response can't be, I don't feel safe. The response has got to be, we feel safe. We have faith in the system. We're going to stand together. We're going to sing Kumbaya. We're going to put this in the past. I can't remember, but I'm sure somebody said after Manchester, the best response is no response, because responding is what they want. It feeds them. They want us to feel fear. We've got to pretend this didn't happen. We've got a soldier on, stiff upper lip. Totally different narrative here. And people who are watching this stream, I'm sure many of them will be watching thinking, yeah, what Mark's saying is 100% correct. What we're actually seeing here is this massively disproportionate response, night and day response when it happens to Jews. Starmer shakes hands with member of the Jewish community. Well, good for him. New powers to act against state-sponsored groups accelerated after attack. So already the government are announcing it's going to fast-track new powers to go after individuals or groups acting on behalf of state-sponsored organizations. This is relevant to yesterday's attacks because of the possibility that a militant Shia group acting for the Iranian regime has been targeting British Jews. So this is where the false flag stuff comes in. They want to use this as a way to pass new laws. And they want to ban groups. And they mention the far right here as well. The tool would be equivalent to the power to ban groups involved in terrorism, such as the far right National Action or self-styled Islamic State. Once a group is banned, the police can pursue suspects for supporting, organizing, directing activities or fundraising for them, even if they have not committed a specific criminal offense like an attack. So what they're saying here is they want to bring in new legislation that means if you support the wrong group or potentially the wrong ideas, they can go after you. And they're going to fast track this. And he says, what does fast track mean? Well, Parliament returns to work on the 13th of May with the King's speech, and the draft plan will be included in it. So they've already got this ready to go. Tells you how quick they can act if they want to. Khan is saying that a new police unit is needed in London to tackle extremism. Well, this is amazing. So what you're going to have is an extra 25 million. Badenoch wants the Shomrim to be publicly funded, and he wants a new special police unit to look after Jews. I mean, they're falling over themselves, aren't they? More emotional garbage, prayers continue at synagogues, where victims were worshipping before the attack. Well, they said one guy was walking past the shops and one guy was walking past the synagogue. Now they were worshipping at the synagogue before the attack. I don't know whether they were, but it seems the narrative has shifted there. But, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste, as they say. Met Police writes to residents of North London following the Golders Green attack. What? The Met Police has written to residents in Stamford Hill, another part of North London with a large Jewish community following yesterday's attack in Golders Green. The force says there has been a visible increase in uniformed police patrols in the area in recent weeks, supported by plainclothes officers. So what you actually have here is the police writing to Jews saying that they're going to look after them. Now, I remember working in Keighley at the height of the grooming scandal, and everyone knew that the Pakistani Muslims would pick the girls up, take them up on the country roads, up by the moors, and abuse them. The police could have put cars there all night. The police could have had plainclothes officers there and arrested people. They never did any of that. But they're damn well going to do this for the Jews. Here's another picture of the guy. Golders Green suspect is named Essa Suleiman. We've already covered that. We've already covered his picture. Jewish ambulance charity treated suspect at the scene. This is obviously to tell you how wonderfully kind these people are. They never hurt a hair on anyone's head. Not much future for Jewish people in the UK. What's the future for white Britons, mate? What's the future for the white British girls in places like Rotherham, Telford, Rochdale? What's the future for white people who are being reduced to a minority? But it's virtually illegal to say what I've just said, isn't it? But you can ask what the future is for Jews. Golders Green victims tell BBC from hospital it's a miracle he's alive. But he is alive. Both of them survived, unlike the three little girls in Southport. Starmer speaking now from number 10. This is sort of just over 27 hours after this all started. There's an address from Downing Street. The attack was not a one-off, said Starmer. Jewish people in the UK are scared to show who they are. He's reiterating what he said earlier, but from Downing Street. Starmer says government to introduce swathes of measures to tackle anti-Semitism. New laws again. Starmer says the government will strengthen the visible police presence in communities, increase investment in Jewish security services, and introduce stronger powers to shut down charities that promote anti-Semitic extremism. The government will also prevent hate preachers from entering the country and bar them from university campuses, UK streets and communities, and will also work with the justice system to speed up sentencing on anti-Semitic attacks. He will also He also says the government plans to introduce stronger powers to tackle the malign threat posed by states like Iran, aiming to fast-track legislation. So everything so far, 25 million extra, special police, more police on the streets. They are now saying that they're going to give more money to the Community Security Trust, and they may well be funding the Shomrim. Bans on people coming into the country for holding the wrong opinions under this hate preacher legislation and new legislation. I mean, have you ever seen such a response for such a comparatively minor event? Now, I'm not saying that two people didn't suffer, and that's wrong and that's awful. But compared to Southport, compared to Manchester, compared to Nottingham, this was nowhere near as bad. But the best thing we get after something like Nottingham is a come by our session and a few bollards in the town centre to stop people driving a van through and killing people. PM calls on everyone decent in this country to open their eyes to Jewish pain. Oh, God. This is what we were waiting for. PM takes aim at behaviour at pro-Palestine marches. Expect new laws. The Prime Minister references behaviour at pro-Palestinian marches, saying that while, of course, the UK protects freedom of speech, if you are marching with people wearing pictures of paragliders without calling it out, you are venerating the murder of Jews, he says. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? He adds, if you are standing alongside people saying globalise the Intifada, you are calling for terrorism against Jews. Starmer says that people use that phrase should be prosecuted, as it's extreme racism. Now, this is incredible, isn't it? And I want to really labour this point because it's extremely interesting. He's not saying people wearing pictures of paragliders or people saying globalise the Intifada need to go to jail. He's saying that people standing with them also need to go to jail. He says, if you are marching with people wearing pictures of paragliders, if you are standing alongside people saying, so you don't even have to be saying it. So if you're there at a protest and somebody bursts out with a comment they shouldn't say or is illegal, and you don't do something, if you don't tackle that person, you could get done. I mean, this is amazing, isn't it? So now they're saying it's not enough for you not to say these phrases, but you must also do something about it if you hear people saying these phrases. So it's not enough just to stay within the law, but you must now attack people that may be breaking the law. I mean, this is like something out of a mad cult. But again, this illustrates Jewish power in a way that is really off the scale. I mean, going through this for me, I'm pretty hardened to this stuff, but it's eye-opening even for me. Starmer says he will look at fresh measures in relation to protests. Well, here we go. It doubles down on the Cobra meeting, and it says he understands the high levels of anxiety and concern. Starmer then adds he will look at further measures that can be taken on protests. So this is anarcho-tyranny, because basically, because of this, they're going to take away the rights of everyone. PM asked if counter-extremism program effective after revelations of suspects referral. We know prevent is useless. As Starmer says, the investigation of the attack is still ongoing, meaning we haven't got all the facts yet. He says prevent was reviewed after the 2024 Southport stabbings, but the government needs to be open to learning any further lessons. Oh, they'll learn a lot more lessons from this than they ever did Southport, I'm telling you. Wrong to link anti-Semitic attacks to pro-Palestinian marches, campaign group says, well, at least there's something here. At least there's something here that pushes back a little bit. It's now, I mean, how many times are they going to run this same story? I mean, the propagandists, don't pay your TV license, guys. Don't pay your TV license. And also, don't be a knobhead. Don't be a knobhead like Harry Lowe. Big break. Oh, look, they've got another picture of him as a big, fully grown man. He's not cosplaying as Doctor Who here. He's not a little boy singing in the choir in Wales. Yeah. There we go. Another good picture. And this is all, you know, in day two after the attack. I saved lives. Well done, mate. Well done. UK national threat level increased to severe. I wonder what it was increased to after Southport. Probably to not bothered. according to politicians. Increased threat level, not solely the result of Golder's green attack. Home Secretary urges everyone to be vigilant but go about their daily lives. What each threat level, there's no point reading that. We are doing everything possible to protect our city. Now remember, Sadiq Khan was once quoted as saying terrorism was part and parcel of living in a major city. He was very dismissive of terrorism when it targeted mainly white people. He's not so dismissive now, is he? Very interesting. I don't feel safe walking down the street, says man who's leaving Salford for Israel. More emotional garbage. Enhanced police response across the country. Obviously, we didn't get that after Southport. Here's a, you know, he's taking it very seriously. Doubt he was even at Southport. Police reviewing all events planned across the country after changing threat level. Now, this is very interesting. Counter-terror policing head Lawrence Taylor says police will be reviewing all events across the country after the UK terrorism threat level was raised to severe. He was responding to a question from the BBC about what it means for large public events and marches planned in London over the next few weeks. We could potentially see them being called off. As part of our review into change in the threat level, policing will be reviewing all events across the country, he says. My teams will be working with forces to ensure that we have the appropriate protective security measures in place and the appropriate mitigations are put in place. And we will be engaged with communities who will be affected by large events as well as those involved in the events so that we can keep them as safe as they can be. Amazing, isn't it? Two people stabbed and they're talking of potentially canning every event in London. No, don't look back in anger here, is it? Golder's green victims, a quiet, honest person and a man who thanks God he's alive. Well, obviously, I didn't want this guy to die. I don't think anyone did, except for the mad knife man. But, you know, they are really, really milking this. Protesters gather outside Downing Street. Well, are any of them going to be arrested? You see, remember when people protested after Southport? They weren't called protesters, were they? It was far-right thugs. And again, this is another very important thing, isn't it? People were arrested after Southport for heckling the police, for heckling members of parliament or people who attended demonstration and called for calm. No one was arrested at these protests. And these are called protesters. They're not far-right thugs, are they? They're not Jewish thugs. They're not any kind of thugs. They're just protesters. Protesters gather outside Downing Street. A crowd of demonstrators has gathered outside Downing Street demanding Prime Minister Keir Starmer do more to tackle anti-Semitism following Wednesday's attack. Now, can you imagine? I can't. I can imagine. I haven't got it in front of me, unfortunately. But it is very interesting to note the response to the protests out after Southport. These protesters here are treated like heroes. The picture of a woman wiping her eye, holding up a placard. This is all good stuff, isn't it? You know, people there with the Israeli flag, the British flag, the English flag. Not a bad word is said about these people. Quite the opposite when it was protests after Southport. And the police aren't trying to antagonise them either. The police aren't turning up in riot gear. The police aren't trying to wind them up. They're not setting dogs on them. They're not arresting random people. These guys are allowed to boo Keir Starmer and chant things at him without being arrested. Can you imagine what would happen to the likes of me, Sam or Laura if we turned up at an event where Keir Starmer was speaking and booed or chanted? We'd be arrested straight away. Again, you can see who the first class citizens are. Be alert and vigilant, but not alarmed, says Security Minister. And we're getting towards the end here. This is the last page. Iranian embassy categorically rejects allegations of involvement in UK violence after the attack. I don't believe they were involved. Terror coming to our doorstep. Young Jewish people speak to Newsbeat. Of course they do. I wonder how many people they interviewed after Southport. How many white girls they interviewed after Southport about their fears. Terrorism threat level raised, they stabbed victim, it's a miracle he's alive. Again, glowing pictures of the protesters. Essa Suleiman, 45, this is this morning, charged with attempted murder. So charges brought quickly, which they should be in all cases, to be fair. 45-year-old man charged with attempted murder following Golder's Green attack. Essa Suleiman has been charged with attempted murder after two Jewish men were stabbed in Golder's Green, North London. The Metropolitan Police have said the 45-year-old has been charged with two counts of attempted murder and one count of possession with a bladed article in a public place over the incident on Wednesday. He has also been charged with attempted murder in relation to a separate incident in Great Dover Street in Southwark earlier the same day. That's very interesting because that was a Muslim man. On Thursday, the UK's terror level was raised to severe following the stabbing. Note, though, the BBC here, they haven't... I know the BBC have now said it was a Muslim man in the other incident, but they're not saying it here, are they? Very interesting. Suspect charged in relation to separate incident. And here... is when do they actually say what happened in the separate incident? We can bring you more from the Met police statement and bladed article. We've already said that. Met says gold is green. Yeah. Not named the other guy yet. Very interesting. I know the other guy is a Muslim, though, but the BBC doesn't seem to be saying it. Rowley says Met are using extra resources. We already know that. This is a bit of a recap of yesterday's. Minister says time for warm words are gone. I mean, who's this? Alex Davis, Jones MP, victims minister, is now speaking to BBC Breakfast. So it's important that we recognise the bravery of the police and the police who helped in Golders Green incident, adding her thoughts are with the community or reeling again from another horrific incident that's happened to them. The Jewish community needs action and they deserve action. It's the time for warm words has come and gone, she adds, and ultimately needs a long term. So the time for warm words has come and gone. Has the time for don't look back in anger come and gone for whites? Has the time come to say, you know, maybe it is best to respond? You know, when it happens to whites, is the best response is no response. Is the time gone for that? I don't know. Would it be illegal for me to say that the time for warm words when it comes to migrants raping white girls has come and gone? Would I be accused of stirring up racial hatred? Would I be accused of inciting violence for saying the time for warm words has come and gone? She won't be accused of that because she's talking about Jews as a victim group. Government funding will contribute towards additional Met officers. So the government are now giving the Met more money to help the Jews. New powers stop protests causing repeat intimidation, says minister. Victims minister Davis Jones is then also asked about protests planned for the coming week. She says this week the Crime and Policing Act has come into force and granted power to prevent marches taking place outside places of worship and causing repeat intimidation. The right to protest in this country is fundamental, she says. So fundamental, why are you restricting it? But if people are marching to take part in hate or division or any anti-Semitism or racial hatred, that's unacceptable. So now expect people not to be able to protest if they say it's racial hatred. On Thursday, PM Keir Starmer said the government is looking at what further measures we can take on protests. What further measures we can take, particularly in relation to chants, banners and the repeated nature of protests. So you're allowed one protest without any chants or banners. And if you do it again, off to jail. Rowley says riding tide of anti-Semitism has been there for years. Yeah, he's been banging on about this. Jewish father and daughter describe anti-Semitic experiences in London because we need a more emotional propaganda. They've got to sell this. We are witnessing the normalisation of anti-Semitism, says Chief Rabbi. Have we witnessed the normalisation of the abuse of white girls? We sure have, but we can't say that, can we, mate? Chief Rabbi says more needs to be done. Well, of course he does. He's been saying that now. This is the third day. I feel like God's given me my life back, says the stabbing victim. Well, you never actually died, unlike the girls in Southport. Community has no faith that attacks will end, says Jewish Leadership Council. How the more recapping. Raising terrorism threat levels inevitable, says advisor on anti-Semitism. Why do they have an advisor on anti-Semitism? Lord John Mann, the government's independent advisor, I bet he's not independent, on anti-Semitism, has spoken to the BBC News about the decision to raise the terrorism threat. The former MP says he feels the level rising was inevitable, adding the recent wave of attacks following sustained hostility to people in the Jewish community. I don't think the country quite understands what's been going on, he says. Well, we'll obviously need some more propaganda, and the BBC have been doing that. He says that Jewish people are being abused and ostracised in school and their workplaces. Well, I don't believe that for a minute. Mann adds there are underlying causes that haven't been addressed, as well as immediate factors like the conflict in the Middle East that have brought hostility to a new level. Again, he'll want to stop people criticising Israel. And then the final update today, and this is the end, Mann appears in court charged with attempted murder of two Jewish men. I wonder if you, and you see, this is a misleading headline. So it's actually good to end on this. A man has appeared in court charged with attempted murder after two Jewish men were stabbed in Golders Green. And it goes down here. Suleiman appeared in the dock on Friday. Suleiman had been a patient in the South London Maudsley NHS Foundation Trust. He was born in Somalia but came to the UK lawfully. Interestingly, though, here it is. So look at the headline. Man appears in court charged with attempted murder of two Jewish men. That is all true, but it leaves something out. And this is what it leaves out. Suleiman is also accused of attempting to murder Ishmael Hussein in a knife attack at Hussein's flat in Southwark, South London, earlier the same day. Hussein was somebody that Suleiman knew. So why isn't it man appears in court charged with attempted murder of three men? Why does it have to be two Jewish men? And this is a perfect place to end, because even with this final little bit of information, even with this final update that we've got today, when it all sort of comes to an end, they're still pushing this, aren't they? They are still doing everything in their power to push the Jewish angle. Now, yeah, two Jewish men were stabbed. That's unacceptable. I'm not supporting that. But why doesn't the headline say charged with three counts of attempted murder? Because it was. But it doesn't say that. And it doesn't say that because they want to put Jewish in the headline. They want to hide the fact that this guy might not have actually been targeting Jews, but instead was just a bit of a lunatic. I wouldn't be surprised if it came out that this guy had serious mental health problems, but he won't get away on mental health issues like people do when they attack white people. And the fact this reporting is so disingenuous up until the end tells you everything you need to know. Anyway, that's the end of the live reporting. It's come to an end. So I'm going to sum up. There are major similarities between the Southport attack and what happens in Golders Green. The ethnicity of the attackers is very similar. Their criminal history is very similar, and their referrals to counter-terror and prevent and other agencies is also very similar. These people were on the radar. What isn't similar is the nature of the attack. The attack in Golders Green was bad. The attack in Southport was horrific. But the response by the media, the establishment, the politicians has been completely over the top when it comes to Golders Green. The Prime Minister called a Cobra meeting. He never did the same in Southport. The Tory leader went directly to Golders Green the same day. The Tory leader at the time never went to Southport, never. Just released a statement, a written statement. You've got leaders of every major political party doing the rounds and speaking on the news. This never happened after Southport. After Southport, the focus was on stopping people from protesting. Here, the BBC are playing up Jews protesting and basically praising them for confronting Keir Starmer. Any white person doing that would be arrested and the BBC would call them out. And you can also see a massive response. In the wake of Southport, we've had this two-phase inquiry. That's it. But in the wake of this, there's going to be more funding for Jewish communities. There's going to be funding for their private vigilante group. There's going to be more funding for the Community Security Trust. There's going to be special police units funded to look after them. There are going to be more regular police on the beat in their areas. There are going to be new laws to combat hate speech, to combat protests. The Prime Minister himself said it's not enough to not say things like globalize the intifada, but if you hear it being said, you must challenge the people who are saying it. There's going to be new laws that deal with protests. There's going to be new laws that deal with organizations that the state want to ban in the wake of this. And when you wrap it all up, this all points to one thing, doesn't it? We've been doing this now for an hour and 40 minutes. And to wrap up, this tells you who's really in charge. This tells you who the first class citizens are. I've said for a long time, in Britain, there is an ethnic totem pole. down at the very bottom are white people. You know that because of Southport. But at the very top, there are Jews. And that's why there's been this response. This response is reserved for one type of attack and one type of attack only. And that is an attack on Jews. When it happens to whites, whether it's the Manchester Arena bombing, whether it's Nottingham, whether it's Southport, it doesn't matter. When it happens to whites, we don't look back in anger. There may be an inquiry. There may be lessons that people have to learn, but we move on. We shouldn't get angry. We should stay calm. Nobody should be calling for any kind of retribution. When it happens to Jews, heaven and earth must be moved to provide new protections. The language is one of retribution, anger, revenge even, and there needs to be funding and new laws that change the very fabric of our society to protect those who sit at the top of the ethnic totem pole. That's my assessment. Anyway, if you haven't super chatted and you want to super chat, if you've really enjoyed this stream and you would like to support me, please do consider making a donation, because I'm going to read them out now. We've got a few on Rumble, and I think we've got just two over on Entropy. But if you would like to help me out, please do give something. It's really, really appreciated. I put a lot of effort into this. None of this is AI. This is me live speaking on stream. This isn't something that I just sort of throw together. So if you can help me, I would very much appreciate that. Anyway, we have a super chat here from Open Borders for Israel for $5. Thank you so much, my friend. And he says, what evidence is there that he attacked them because they were Jewish? He could have been mentally ill and just been attacking random people. Well, we don't know. And as I've covered in the presentation tonight, there appears to be more evidence from what we can see. And we haven't got all the cards in front of us. Only the police have got that. And we'll have to see when it goes to trial. But from what we can see, he attempted to murder three people that day. One of them was a Muslim. Two of them were Jewish. This would suggest it was a spree attack. We don't know. We will probably find out. But there is a good chance that this is being played up in some kind of false flag event. And by false flag, I don't mean it didn't happen. I mean, it happened. But the actual nature of the attack is being changed in order to allow the government to do what it's doing. A British Gammon gave a generous $25. Thank you so much. Very, very kind of you. And I appreciate your continued support. And he says, Starmer and Mahmood still haven't mentioned Wayne Broadhurst's name after he's killed by an Afghan migrant. It wouldn't have taken them 5 minutes to post something on X, even if they didn't mean it. So why do you think they are making their anti-whiteism so blatant? Well, that's another good point. Wayne Broadhurst walking down the street, stabbed by an Afghan migrant in broad daylight, just killed for no reason. No one cared, did they? The government didn't care. There wasn't any care, really, from the police, the security services. It wasn't a terror incident. Just one of those unfortunate things that happen. Part and parcel. Don't look back in anger, guys. Get on with things. You know, it's a small price to pay for the curry, the Deliveroo drivers, you know. Says a lot, doesn't it? Thank you for that generous super chat. We have $10 from Hazelnut3000. Thank you so much. And says, thanks, Mark. Just popped in, but we'll have to watch this on catch up. Well, thank you so much. I hope you enjoy it. Damien Demento gave $10. Thank you so much, my friend. It's good to see you back. I'm pleased you're enjoying the streams. And he said, excellent presentation, Mark. The ONS stats on black people and psychotic episodes are interesting. Imagine the reaction to white people trying to start their own version of Shomrin. Well, I'm going to look into what you've said, and I might do an article on it. So thank you so much for that. But agreed. Imagine if tomorrow I said I'm going to start the White Girls Defense Program. And the White Girls Defense Program was going to be, you know, white people pooling their money to buy motor vehicles, brand them up like police cars and drive around carrying out vigilante work against people who are trying to groom or sexually abuse or rape white girls. It'd be shut down overnight, wouldn't it? I think I'd be arrested. It would be branded a terror group. Anybody who allowed me to use their website to gain funding for it would probably also be investigated. All funding would be shut down. Would never, ever in a million years be allowed to do it. Denise the Celt gave $10, thank you so much, and said, not only Southport Girls, but David Rothschild's Cameron's first words. After Lee Rigby was butchered by an African Muslim, revolved around my concern that the slaughter would harm the Muslim community. Well, that's another thing, isn't it? And Denise the Celt makes a really good point. I've heard this many, many times before, and I find this really interesting. When something like this happens, and it's a white person who's the victim, like with Lee Rigby, the press will literally go into overdrive saying, you know, we shouldn't talk about this because, you know, potentially this could damage race relations. But when something like this happens to Jews, it's never the same narrative, is it? Anyway, that's the end of the super chats. Thank you to everybody who super chatted. It was very kind of you. I just want to say, if you're watching this on replay, please, please do consider making a donation if you watch these streams regularly. And if you would like to help me out, it makes a massive, massive difference to me. If you want me to keep doing this, please do consider giving something. You can also now subscribe to me on Substack. Please do, if you like my work, if you like my writing, it would be very, very much appreciated if people did that. You can also donate through those means. And finally, I'd like to give a big thank you to everybody who watched the stream tonight, everybody who tuned in. Thank you for being with me. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, and if you can't donate, please feel free to share it with friends and family or on social media. I'll be back again on Sunday for the Nationalist A Team, and I'll also be back next week for Patriotic Weekly Review, which will be on Wednesday. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you all soon. Love you all. Good night.